Well, welcome to all our visitors this morning. We have a few visitors here this morning. Welcome to The Rock and to Terrace. We are a church that believes in Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that there is no salvation without him. We are a community of believers. We believe that we are just one part of the great body of Christ globally. And there is a huge body of Christ all over the world. Amen. So welcome this morning. This morning I want to open, before I start, just as do a little recap. A couple weeks ago, Matt Henschel reminded us of Tim's preach when he preached just before Kenny and Maureen came. And Tim shared at that time an encouragement. He encouraged us to continue towards joy as we move forward as a community. And I thought, I'm going to bring us right back from there and start from there, because as you move forward, stuff happens. And as stuff happens, joy gets challenged. And maybe it's not so joyful. Tim preached on us as a community that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, that we need to remember that the joy comes from him. When we moved across Canada, just Len and I and our family, there was a joy set before us. We lived in Ontario for 8 years. We went through ups and downs in Ontario. Some of the time was very, very hard and difficult. We remembered the Northwest Coast, the clean air, the clean water, the beautiful people. We long to be back. We are back. But so there was a joy set before us. Then we got into the trucks, and we had two trailers, a van, a truck. One of the trailers was 16 feet filled right to the top. And we began our journey. We started to move. And as a church, we are moving. As a community of God, we're moving forward. We started to move forward, and wasn't a few hours down the highway that the back axle on my trailer snapped loose. So I'm hauling down the highway thinking, yeah, I'm going to get there quick. No, I didn't get there that quick that day. That day, the axle snapped loose and jackknifed my trailer out in front of a semi. Ghislaine and the kids who was with me, I think Christina was it. Were you with me in the truck, Caleb? Anyway, we're like, what's happening? You're driving straight down a flat, paved, dry highway, and your trailer goes, wah, pulling the truck sideways, and a semi's coming. Ghislaine and the girls are behind us in the van screaming, you know, prayers to Jesus to save us, and he did. And we got to the side of the highway. Long story short, we slept on the side of the highway. The police came. They put flares around us. We got help. We fixed a trailer. We got back on the road, and I white-knuckled it all the way to Terrace because they didn't want that to happen again. But so there was joy. We had a destination. There was joy. Then we set out on our course, and there was trouble. And that's the same as we go forward as a community with the Lord. We have joy set before us, but there sometimes stuff happens, and it challenges the joy of the Lord, and we want to hold on to that. After that, Caleb preached on recognizing Jesus' agenda. No agenda but Jesus. He brought us a little correction. He said, if we say that, we're probably lying, right? Because there's agendas in us that aren't Jesus's all the time. So he said, let's press in and get to know Jesus's agenda. Let's get to know what Jesus is all about, and to the best of our ability, do what Jesus wants, and let our own agendas die. But it's a process. We don't do it perfect all the time. Chris shared on our first love, nothing getting between us and God and staying the course. It's all about traveling. It's all about journeying. It's about direction and movement. The last thing we want, Shirley, She's not here. She's taking care of stuff. Okay. But she shared a word this morning about a brook or a stream, bubbling and lively, bringing life and refreshing. That's a moving piece of water. That's what we are. We're in the river of life. It's moving, it's alive, and if we stop because trailers jackknife or because life throws us a curveball, because something happens to us as we go forward, we stagnate and the life stops. We keep going forward as a community. We keep going forward as Christians, as believers in Jesus. Kenny and Maureen came after that, and they stayed for a month, and they poured in a mountain of love. I've been a Christian for 35 years, and I've never been in a church where a visiting minister stayed for a month, ever. Never seen it. And they did. They stayed for a month, and I never seen anybody lay their life into the work like that. And so I started recognizing, oh, they're losing their life to find life. They're losing their life for us because we are Jesus's prize. We belong to Christ. They're helping us stay the course. They're laying their life in. I can sew the summit up of what they brought to us in two statements: to know Jesus and make him known. And obedience is Jesus's love language. And so if you want to show Jesus your love, obey him. Right? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Amen? Okay, so that's our history for about 6 weeks. Then last week, Tim preached on the call, the confession, the cost, the context, and the common theme. That there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God over all and through all. Why? Because that is the banks of the river. That is what keeps us in line with God. It is the truth that God is. It is the truth that there is only one God. It is a truth that he made a way for us that we keep going straight. Today, I want to continue talking about Jesus. I don't think we can go wrong if we talk about Jesus. And so I want to continue. I love Jesus. And I love who he is. I love what he does. I want to touch on Jesus and leadership a little bit as we go forward. As I was preparing, I come to recognize that leaders primarily need something. Leaders primarily need a destination. Now, sometimes we think leaders need followers, but that's not true. Leaders need a destination. Leaders need to be moving away towards something, and the result of good leadership is followers. Followers come because of good leadership, but a leader needs a destination. Followers primarily need something, too. Followers primarily need a leader. That's their primary need. If you're going to be a follower, guess what? You better have a leader, because you're not actually following if you don't have one of those. So followers primarily need a leader, but they need something else. They need a leader who possesses a destination they really believe in. I don't need to come and sell something to you to buy into. You need to recognize a destination that's coming through leadership that you want to go to. It's in you. You want to be there. That's how Jesus did it. That's his leadership style. He modeled this leadership style all through his walk on earth while he was here. So we have a leader, Jesus. Jesus is the great leader. He's the greatest leader. And he has the greatest destination. He said this: I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also. Jesus lived, preached the truth, gave testimony of the truth, died on a cross, rose again, and went somewhere to a destination. He went somewhere. When he went there, he told his followers, I'm going to prepare a place. If you believe in that place, you're going to want to go there too. And now you've got a leader. His name is Jesus. Now, when Jesus gathered his followers, he called them disciples. So he called disciple in the Greek means pupil. It's like a classroom. It's more like an apprenticeship, not a classroom. Jesus took his disciples, and they walked with him and watched him and did what he did and learned. He called them disciples. They walked with Jesus for a period of time, and then he called them something else. Do you know what he called them next? He called them friends. You are now friends, and I'm going to share everything with you. So there was a relationship that formed, a trust that was formed. The followers had their leader. They said statements like this. There was a big kerfuffle. A bunch of people said, Jesus, you say things like, drink my blood and eat my body. We've had enough of that kind of talk. We're leaving. And so Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going too? They said, where will we go? You have the destination that we want to get to. You have the words of eternal life. Where would we go? See, they believed in a destination. They became so interconnected. Their friendship was so strong that they would not be deterred from the journey. Once they became friends and they're following through with their apprenticeship with Jesus, he preaching the truth, healing the sick, taking them along with them, and then him sending them out on their own to preach the truth, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. They're coming back rejoicing, him reaffirming, hey, your names are written in the book of life, you know, and bringing them through to leadership. So he finally called them apostles, disciples, friends, apostles. He brought them through. So now he had followers who became friends, who he brought through to be apostles or leaders. That's his way. That's exactly what he wants us to be like. If we want to be like Jesus, we're going to want to recognize his way and walk the way he walks. First, following Jesus. Second, becoming his friend, to know Jesus. Third, become a leader to make him known. These apostles, or these leaders that Jesus brought through, they recognize something. They recognize that Jesus promised to go and prepare a place for them. But these leaders also recognize that they were seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Present tense. They got the vision so clearly that the destination was, they possessed the destination so tightly that they knew by faith that they were seated with Christ in heavenly places. They attracted new followers. The apostles did. The apostles went, they preached, they cast out devils, they healed the sick, and they gathered followers. Those followers entered into an apprenticeship. They went with Paul and Timothy, Barnabas and Mark, and a host of others went out into the fields and watched the apostles work. Then did what the apostles did. They became friends. They saw the destination, and they also became leaders. This is the call of God on all people. All people. We know that Jesus loves us. We know that God sent him to die for us. And we know that we are brought back to God through the payment Jesus did on the cross for us. He didn't leave us as saved individuals. He has called us to be friends and to be leaders. There is his character or his personality. Jesus has a character and a personality. We are to imitate his character and his personality. So I want to take a look at Jesus' purpose on earth. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." A purpose. He has come for something. He's come to seek and save. Now, my beautiful wife's here. Gigi, do you want to come up? I want you to share. This is my wife, Ghislain, if you're visiting today. We've been married over 30 years. And she's going to share a little story. She had her birthday last week, and she invited a bunch of people to her birthday party at the beach. No, she invited everybody. And a bunch of people showed up, and it was wonderful. She gets a lot of joy out of other people getting joy. So a lot of people showed up, and they played on the beach, and the kids were having fun. It was great. And she hung out. I lasted 4 hours. She was there. I left. I was pooped. And she was still there, and she was visiting people, and then they left. And then Jenna and her family were the last one to leave. And so they left, and now Ghislain's at the beach on her birthday all by herself. Now, then she says, I think God wants me to stay. So she stayed, and another couple came and said, "Are we too late?" And she said, "No, you're not too late. Let's visit." So they visited. They visited for a bunch of time, and then it was done. Then she drove away. Now she was driving back to Terrace from the beach. God spoke to her to do something. I want you to share that.
Yes, actually, it was Mike and Nancy that came with their picnic basket and says, "Is it too late?" Says, "No, actually, you were the one that I was to wait for." So then, but it's actually starting to pour rain and lightning and thunder came. So we literally ran to the van. I thought it was better to be in the van with the rubber tires than on the trees, I think. So nevertheless, on the way home, the thing is that when Mike Vanderplas came to the van, I was already in the van going, "I'm out of here." And he was coming this, "Oh, bye." So I thought, I realized I didn't hug him goodbye, and French people likes to hug. Anyway, that's not the point. Going back home, I felt I was to go to Mike's house. So basically, I turn on in front of a Tim Horton, I forget, Calum's Road, I think, and I'm driving to go to Mike's house to give him a hug and to say, "Yes, it was great seeing you guys again." And then out of a sudden, I see one of my parents. It's a mom from the center, and God has been speaking to me about praying for her, sowing, you know, life into her, and however, you guys know what I'm talking about. So basically, on the way, and I'm driving, and I'm going, "Oh, there she is." So then Mike and Nancy are not there, and I'm looking back. So I come back to seek for her because where are you? This is why I turn here. These guys are not there, but this is actually the reason. So I actually think I know where she lives. So I'm driving around this area slowly but surely from, you know, and there's a block, and I'm going, is she in the, I think it's number one. No, maybe it's number nine. So I did practically each door with my car, and I'm going, I don't think it's the right one. So I'm going to another road. So I take another road, and I'm going, but God says, "Don't give up. You will find her." So, okay, fine. 10 minutes later that I'm driving, you know, I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that. Where is she? So finally, I'm coming back on my step, driving towards Tim Horton, and there she's walking. So I park the, I go right like that. Whew. And I park the car, and I open the door. And I says, "I've been looking for you for the last 15 minutes. She goes, "Really?" Tears came into her eyes, and she says, "I had the worst day of my life last night." Now, you need to hear this. I've been walking with this mom. Her daughter has been to our center since she's a baby. I received this little girl in a diaper, and when parents are at loss, wondering what to do with this screaming little baby who's kicking and fussing, and she's going, "What did I birth?" Well, you know, you get the point. So basically, we've walked together about how to form her, shape her, and how to, you know, help the mom to walk with her little girl that she's at law. She's a young mom. So basically, she goes, I had the worst day of my life. And she goes, are you serious? You've been looking for me? So she burst into tears. And then the Spirit of God fell upon me to just bring good news to her. And I literally, it was literally prophetic about her, you know, God has your number. I know that you might not understand this right now, but you know, we've had your son, daughters, and the son in our center. And I really feel that you have, a call in your life. I actually saw her when she was old, ministering to her grandchildren. I thought, this is amazing, Lord. You are loving her. You are actually using me to tell her you're going to come into the kingdom. We're going to rejoice one day as you share the good news. You know, and it was like seeking. God seeks whom he may find, and he already, then he's sharing with us, you know, share the truth with her, love her. He anoints us to minister life, to prophetically speak life to them, and then out of a sudden, she's glowing, and she's receiving, you know, ministered, and I said to her after, blah, blah, it flows like a river. You guys know how, when you speak with somebody, Jesus, how it flows out of you, and how the scripture comes, and she was just bathing in his presence, and just rejoicing over the word she was hearing. It's like, I think that maybe wings were growing. Nevertheless, she was just that lifted, and then I looked at her, and I said, you know, God is an amazing Father, and he loves you. And I don't know your past, your history, but I know what you are going through. I could see the pain in your heart and your life, and all the circumstances is fail, 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 fail. Why in the world am I here? It's all around her. It's fail, 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 left, right, and center. But I said, there is hope, and God loves you, and he has a plan for you. Don't give up. So then I look at her and says, can I pray for you? And she goes, yes, please. And then again, like, laid my hand upon this beautiful young mom and spoke life. Christ loves the lost. He loves them. He's drawing them by his Holy Spirit to himself. And he has a plan for them. So remember your sphere of influence. Remember the people you face that God puts in your path. These are the people that God possibly would desire you to have faith in the moment and share Christ lovingly and boldly, because he's with you, he's in you, and he knows who needs you, because it's about them.
Thanks, love. She's instant. In season and out of season. Amen. So God comes to save souls. But really, that story was about Jesus seeking. A lot of times, we look at Jesus saving, and we forget that Jesus seeks. He said himself, I have come for this purpose, to seek and to save those that are lost. And I wanted to Ghislaine to share that, because what she did was seeking somebody by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus used her on her birthday to seek out one of his lovely children who hasn't gotten to know him yet. It was effort. It was time. It was resources to do the seeking. The saving happens relatively quickly. The seeking is the work. And I wanted to emphasize that, because there's a lot of people that need to be sought out. Did you notice how Jesus seeks? Now, you see, he's asked us to seek. He's asked us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But Jesus himself seeks, and he seeks out people who will know him. And he wants us to be a part of that work. In Mark 2:17, Jesus calls sinners to repentance. Jesus, when he heard this, he said to them, "They that are healthy have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's another reason why he came. He came to seek, and he came to call. And Tim shared on that last week, the call. But that's a purpose of Christ, to call sinners unto repentance. Repentance meaning turning away from their sins. That's one of the purposes of God,
to call sinners to repent, to turn away from their sins. In John 18:37, Pilate says to him, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king, but to this end I was born." This is his purpose. "To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus speaking. So Jesus tells the truth. If you want to know the truth, listen to Jesus. Don't listen to the news people. I don't know if you follow the election process in the United States, but there's a lot of news coverage. Guess what? They don't tell the truth. Just ask Donald Trump. But listen to Jesus. He tells the truth. We need to know the truth so that we can follow the truth, so that we don't get deceived, so that we don't get off track. In John 6:38, it says, "For I came down from heaven for a reason." Jesus talking. Purpose. "For I came down from heaven for this reason, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." That's his purpose. He actually left heaven, left glory, left everything that was beautiful and perfect, and came to live among this imperfect people of the world for a purpose, to do the will of his Father. And we know that the will of his Father is to seek and to save those that are lost. We know that the will of his Father is to call sinners into repentance. We know the will of his Father is to tell the truth. That's why he came. John 12:46. "I am come for this purpose, to be a light in the world, that whoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." There's a purpose. He came so we wouldn't live in darkness. This is a gymnasium. If we blanked out those little windows there and turned the lights off, it would be pretty black in here. If we got up and screamed fire and everybody started running in here, there'd be a lot of broken people because we would be dwelling in darkness. And that's what happens when you dwell in darkness. You run around, trip, break your leg, bump your head. It's not pleasant. He came as the light so that we would not live or abide in darkness. You can only get that through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are. You can only get that through Jesus Christ, the true light, the light of the world. In John 10:10, it says, "I am come that they might have life. I have come for this purpose. This is the reason why I came. That you and everybody outside of these four walls would have life. And that they might have it more abundantly." So being alive is great, isn't it? But being abundantly alive is the greatest. Abundantly alive. That's why his disciples said, "Where would we go? You've taught us that there's more to life than life. You've taught us that there's an abundant life, an eternal life. We want that." He's come for that purpose. That's his purpose. That's Jesus' purpose. Why would we want to know his purposes? Because we want to be like him. We want others to know Christ. We want others to experience life. We want others to be able to live in light and not stumble around and hurt themselves in the darkness. Do you know that living without Christ hurts you? When I was a non-Christian, I became a Christian when I was 19, but before I was a Christian, I lived in darkness. I stumbled around and got hurt. I abused substances. I believed lies. I had a hopelessness in me for my future as a young person. I thought, what's the use? I was taught that I came from a monkey, or even worse, slime, whatever it was. I was taught that, so I thought, Wow. I'm slime, and that slime over there is telling me what to do. It really bugged me as a young person and not a Christian. I thought, I'm in school, they told me I'm slime, and the teacher that's telling me I'm slime came from slime. Now slime's telling me what to do. I got really upset. I didn't have a lot of hope in the future. I didn't have a lot of light in my life, so I was stumbling around. I was trying to self-medicate with substances. I was lost. Living without Christ hurts you. That's why we want to know the purpose of Jesus Christ and why he came, so that we can grow, become followers, develop into leaders, to help followers develop into leaders like Christ, not like anybody else, like Christ. In Luke 4, 18 to 19, there's a beautiful scripture. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," Jesus talking. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me for this purpose." This is the reason why the Spirit of the Lord is on Jesus. "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That word proclaim means preach. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm preaching. If you don't know Jesus this morning, and you're here, some kind of circumstance brought you here. That circumstance that brought you here is seeking. God is seeking you out. And for some reason, you came here. He is working to get you under the gospel, to hear the truth, to turn your eyes to Christ, the only hope of mankind, and to know him, to come into the light. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. People without Christ are poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These are the purposes of Jesus, and they are our purposes as well. In John 12, 27, it says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Is that what I should say? Has your soul ever been troubled? "Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose came I into the world." That was his purpose to come, to lay his life down for us. And he was troubled to do it. Jesus came to demonstrate God's love. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," or the payment for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. God sent his Son for that purpose. In Acts 3:26, it says, "Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you." God sent Jesus to bless you. To bless you in what? In turning away everyone from his sins. That's what he sent Jesus to do. To turn away everyone from their sins. That's his purpose. Jesus puts a new power in the hearts of men. Romans 8:3-4. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do." Why is the law weak? It couldn't do something. It was weak. This is why the law was weak. You don't give two-year-olds razor blades to play with. Why? Because they'll cut themselves. Homer, for example, Simpson. Homer Simpson reads the Ten Commandments and promises God he will keep them. Don't! He just broke "thou shalt not lie." He just broke "thou shalt not lie." Why is the law weak? It's because it was given to two-year-olds. It's because it's a razor blade. It's because it's impossible for you to keep it perfectly. In fact, if it was possible for you to keep the law perfectly, Jesus would not have to come. It was impossible for us to be saved, but Jesus said all things are possible for God. Jesus came and died on the cross, paid the penalty, and condemned sin in the flesh. That part of us that cannot keep the Ten Commandments. God kept them. Jesus came, became a man. He had a flesh. But he was stronger than his flesh. He was without sin. Jesus came. He lived a sinless life in the flesh. So he could condemn sin in the flesh. When he went to the cross and died for us. I believe that we heard an encouragement today that our church needs to be outward. Our church needs to look beyond our four walls. I believe that Jesus wants us to do that. But I believe that Jesus wants us to carry Jesus outside of these walls. I believe that Jesus wants people to come to him because they know him, that they don't buy in because of other reasons. You know, there's nothing wrong with seeking. So if I went out to the park and I was seeking friends, I don't get in trouble because I go and be friendly with somebody. They might not want to be my friend. They might tell me, leave us alone. And I might not develop them as friends, but there's nothing wrong with trying. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with going out to seek the lost. Nothing at all. You might not win some. You might not be accepted. Some people might reject your friendliness or your friendship or the message of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no laws against it. You can't get thrown in jail for it. Some countries you can, but this one you can't. And so we are free to do this. And I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with this, that we get to hear about Jesus. We get to see his destination. We get to believe so much in his destination that there's no place where we could go. There's no other place for us but with Jesus. We get to grow in our friendship until we become leaders where it doesn't take a huge journey to get there. You can carry Jesus Christ out of these four walls to your neighbors, to your friends, and to even strangers that you would meet, and they could get to know Jesus and become followers of him and grow in God and become leaders themselves. I'm going to leave it with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.